Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In just a moment, Billy Roberts will be joining us to talk about how to unlock your psychic potential. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, thank you, Lady Brenda.
So why don't you tell us about what you do for Psychic Access or what you do in life?
I Grunion Run. We were talking about that, everybody, earlier, about the Grunion Running, yes. But that will save for another show. I work with everybody in the world of PsychicAccess.com, and I love that. I'm an empath. What that is somebody that feels too much, and if they can't handle it, they go crazy. But I'm also very well-versed in tarot. I'm self-taught. And I help people. I'm not just a fortune teller, but I help people with any negative can be a positive. If I pick up anything negative or maybe not the best of something, they can, you know, make a choice to go the other direction. So there you have it.
Isn't it interesting how people, even these days, they know all about psychics, but they a lot of times call us fortune tellers.
Yes.
Oh, the fortune teller.
Or tell me.
Okay.
Yeah. You go, homie, don't play that game.
That's right. Well, thank you, Maureen.
Welcome.
Steve, welcome back.
How was your trip? It was wonderful, but it's great to be home.
Yeah, I bet the weather, you said something briefly about the weather. It's much better where you are, huh?
Yes, it was rainy and windy in the UK and in France. There was a little bit of sunshine the last couple of days, but not much. And I came back here and it's scorching hot, which is great.
That's good. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do, Steve.
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium. I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics, from tarot to astrology, numerology, and symbolism. And I give readings with PsychicAccess.com.
Well, thank you. Now, we usually have Bobby, but, you know, Bobby's abandoned us this time.
Sad.
I know. Hopefully, well, he'll be back next show. So we'll miss you, Bobby. And then, last but not least, myself, I'm Lady Brenda, and I'm a straightforward predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I work with all you lovely people at PsychicAccess.com. Okay, this week our special guest is Billy Roberts. He's one of the UK's leading stage psychics and is a published author with 14 books to his credit. He's been a psychic since he was a child, and although he began his early life as a professional musician, touring Europe with such names as Chuck Berry, the Yardbirds, Jimi Hendrix, the Moody Blues, Small Faces, the Kinks, just to mention a few, he became a professional medium when he was 34 after serving spiritualist churches all over the UK, America, and Canada. It was in 1983 that he founded the Thought Workshop, the Northwest's very first center for psychic and spiritual studies and alternative therapies. It was opened by Billy's friend, the legendary Doris Stokes, and where some of the UK's top mediums have worked. He has appeared on television all over the world and has presented his own 26-week cable television series entitled Secrets of the Paranormal. For more information, you can, you know, visit Billy at http://billyroberts.co.uk. Hi, Billy. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Brenda. It's nice to speak to you.
Yes, it must be pretty early in the morning there, huh?
Well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. That's not too bad, really.
Not for somebody who played with all those musicians, huh?
Yeah, that was many, many years ago, though.
Oh, but how interesting is that?
Yeah, it was good days. 1960s were really good.
pretty wild. So, Billy, let's start at the beginning. How did you first know that you had psychic abilities?
Well, my mother was a medium. My grandmother was a medium. And my mother's sister was a medium. So I grew up really in a spiritualistic environment. And seeing dead people was really commonplace to me. But I had an illness when I was a child, and I spent most of my childhood in hospital. So I was left to my own devices, so to speak. So from the age of 3, really, I became aware of the spirit world, and it just progressed from there, really.
Now, that's really interesting. So they say that people who experience illnesses and traumas, and I guess in you saying you're left to your own devices, and that brings me to my next question. You talked a little bit about, you know, being a musician in the 60s. Do you think that it's kind of goes together, being a sensitive musician and artist, that gives you, or anybody, a potential for being psychic?
Well, I think people like John Lennon, for an example, he always said that when he wrote Imagine, one of his better-known hits, it was like as though some divine force entered his head and gave him the words and the music. And I think most creative people have a propensity towards spirituality. But with me, I grew up in the late 1950s and early 60s, so making a living as a medium wasn't an option for me. People didn't, it wasn't a kind of job that you had. And I had a propensity towards music. So because I was very sickly, my parents were told that I wouldn't live to see my teens. So my dad, in his wisdom, he bought me a guitar, and when I left school at the age of 16, which was in 1962, I was already living a dream of every other kid my age. And I went to Hamburg just after the Beatles and toured Europe with some of the greatest names in the business. I always felt, though, that the spirit world was still an integral part of my life. They were very much involved in it. So I thought that my mediumistic skills were just channeled into the creative areas of my life. And I think most people, like artists, poets, writers of all kinds, they have a sort of a connection with the spirit world or some kind of divine spiritual source. So yeah, I think we all have some kind of connection with a divine source in some way, particularly creative people.
Yeah, some of the writers that are out there, and you read some of their stuff, and it's like, where do they come up with this? Almost like it's from a past life. And did you ever experience any of that type of stuff, like past life remembrances and deja vu?
Yeah, well, I did as a kid. I was a very unusual child, I think, and I had lots of experiences. Not so much really, but deja vu was one of them. But I used to have very lucid dreams as a child, dreams that were related to situations in history. I always had a dream that I was a female called Polly, and I was regressed once by a well-known Liverpool hypnotherapist. And in the session, he gleaned the information that I was this female, and I lived in the 16th century, and my name, in fact, was Polly. So I've got a great feeling about reincarnation and the law of karma, but I'm a bit skeptical, really, about regression and that kind of thing. I don't really believe that you can glean a lot of information from regression. I don't think that's got anything to do with your past incarnations. But I'm very skeptical about the whole thing, really.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's the way I was brought up. I'm known as a skeptical medium. I'm very radical in my approach to the paranormal, and I've had a lot of experiences with different people. Well, I mean, when I started working on the mediumistic circuit in theaters, there were very few mediums working then. There was Doris Stokes, there was a guy called Stephen O'Brien, and another guy called James Byrne. But today, mediums are everywhere in the UK. I don't know what it's like in the States, but in the UK, you can find mediums in every theatre program. They're in every hotel. They're in every room. Everywhere you look, clairvoyants and mediums can be found. And I always believe, and my mother used to say to me, mediums are born, they're not made. So it doesn't matter how many workshops you go to, how many regimes you involve yourself in. If you don't have the propensity, the inherent qualities of mediumship, then it will never develop. I mean, we can all develop psychic abilities, but I think mediumistic skills are in a minority of people. There are so many seers and clairvoyants and people who can foretell the future, in inverted commas. But mediumship is quite specific. A medium's job is mainly to prove the continuity of the soul, to prove there is another life.
You know, I'm glad that you're differentiating that, because there is a lot of people that call themselves mediums, and they really aren't mediums now, or they call themselves a psychic medium. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you're differentiating that, because there's a lot of people that really don't know what the difference is. So tell us, you know, how it's like to be, because you said you're a stage psychic. We really don't have stage psychics here in the United States. I mean, there are a lot of psychics that go and you know, they give, you know, they talk to crowds and stuff like that, but we really don't have that here. What is that like? Is it just a gathering of people that come and do you read to the crowd? How does that work?
Well, I mean, you've got John Edward and you've got James Van Sprague,
yeah.
People like that. And I've got my opinions about them, but...
Oh, well, do tell. We want to know.
But, you know, a lot of mediums are created for television. I mean, you've got a... I mean, I really... It'd be unprofessional of me to criticize...
Well, don't name names. Just tell us what you think.
I don't rate James Van Prague or John Edward. I mean, I see them as entities created by television. But in the UK, it's slightly different. I mean, a stage medium is basically somebody who regards it as entertainment, which I do, really, because the laws in the UK have changed. In America now, for many years, people who have made a habit of going to see clairvoyants and so-called mediums, they, if they record a reading or a sitting and the medium or the clairvoyant makes a prediction about that person's future, for many years, even in the 50s, the client, if the prediction hasn't come true, the client could take the person to court and sue them for making a prediction that didn't come true. In the UK, it's only a recent thing. They've brought in a law, a consumer's law, which allows the client, people who go and see mediums, if they record the reading and the prediction doesn't come true, then the client can actually sue the medium or the clairvoyant. So it's illegal in this country, really, to make a prediction, a prophecy about the future. So we differentiate. You have to get your definitions right. A medium's job is mainly to prove the continuity of the soul by giving information, allegedly, from people who have died. But a clairvoyant is simply somebody who can see things nobody else can see. We can tell you that you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger, you're going to move house, you're going to make a lot of money, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. But that's not a medium's job. A medium's job is mainly to give consolation and evidence to a person who is bereaved.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. But don't you agree that even with the clairvoyant and psychic predictions, that you know, free will of the person could, like, you know, interfere with the prediction?
I think when you're making a prediction, I mean, if I tell you something about your future, you don't know whether it's right or wrong because it hasn't happened yet. And I think if a person is genuine and they make a prediction about somebody's future and give you a warning about some impending doom, it's possible for you to postpone it, to do something different. But if it is genuine and the law of karma comes into play, and eventually whatever it is you've postponed will have to happen, and it gathers force from some kind of impact. So it's always best, I believe. I think your life is predestined. Everything is mapped out for you, and we need to go with the flow and just go along with it. And if a clairvoyant is genuine enough to say, look, this is going to happen, it's best for you to address the situation and go through it instead of avoiding it.
Exactly, to prepare them for the future.
Sorry?
To prepare them.
Yeah,
with the information to prepare them for the future.
I think a medium's job, really, if a medium is genuine, it means far more than giving messages to people. A medium's job is to change people's lives as well as proving survival. And I think if you're genuine, you touch people's lives, you change them spiritually. And a lot of mediums don't do that. And I think, I mean, I've written a book called Psychology of Mediumship, mm-hmm. which is about, I'm viewing it from a skeptical point of view as well as a medium's point of view. And a medium who's not genuine can't travel. For an example, in the UK, we have certain areas, geographical areas. In London, for an example, the names of people are not what you would find in Liverpool in the north of England. And it's the same in the USA. All names are different depending on which area you come from, the common names and the popular names. So if a medium isn't genuine, when they travel from one area to another, the names they give out randomly and ambiguous messages are not accepted. And this is how people... I mean, today the general public are more discerning because of television. They know what to look for. They know which medium is genuine and which is not by the way they work, the way they conduct themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's my opinion. I mean, it's obviously not the opinion of every medium, but a medium who's not genuine can't travel.
Well, that makes sense because it'll probably follow you if you're full of it. A lot of BS and you're not giving the right information. I mean, it catches up with you. I mean, it would just be sensationalism if that was the case, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So in your book... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on. It's okay.
We had a little bit of delay there. We're talking about unlocking the psychic potential in all of us, and you're talking about a little bit about the mediumship and a little bit about the psychic. What are some of the things that you would suggest, just from the psychic point of view, for a person to unlock some of their psychic abilities?
Well, my workshops are very eclectic. My background is in psychology and Buddhism, so I've got a very mishmash of different ideas, and What I did initially in the mid-70s, I constructed a series of meditation exercises using geographic shapes, yantras, and certain sounds, which are called bija mantras. Now, bija mantra, bija means seed, which is the essence of the chakra. And I constructed a series of exercises, mental exercises, basically to release the inherent qualities of chakras. Because there's a lot of misconceptions about chakras and what they do. So meditation is vitally important when you're actually unfolding or trying to cultivate the faculties. And I've got in my book, So You Want to Be Psychic, I've got certain visual aids, like certain circles and certain geometric shapes, which they're not the mainstream, they're quite specific. I'm not a great believer in what in the UK we call development circles, where you join a group with other people. I think it's best to approach it by yourself and use certain exercises. Pranayama, which is the control of prana.
Right,
breathing.
Breath, right?
You know about prana? Prana, yes. Is a subtle agent through which the life of the body is sustained. So the more prana that enters and remains in the physical body, the higher the quality of your life. So a reduction in prana impacts on the health, and also will impair the quality of your psychic abilities. So by using certain pranic exercises, you can actually enhance your awareness, heighten it, and make yourself more receptive to supersensual impulses.
So you're speaking kind of almost like the yogic breathing exercises. Like, to clarify it, some people aren't familiar with the prana.
Yeah. I mean, prana, a lot of people have misconceptions about prana. As I say, prana is a universal energy. It's the word used in yoga to define all energy in the universe. And people like Anton Franz Mesmer, who was the innovator of mesmerism, the beginning of hypnotism. He was an occultist, and he knew that even though he taught all his students the same techniques and phrases, only one or two of them would have the ability to promote a hypnotic trance or state. And he knew that these people seemed to exude a certain kind of energy that was like electricity. It came from their solar plexus, it came from their eyes and their fingertips. And he found out through a yogic friend, an adept, that this energy was called prana, and it was prevalent in certain people. Certain individuals have it in great amounts, and these people make good healers or mediums or psychics.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways and methods of increasing the inflowing energy, this pranic energy, through certain breathing techniques, and I teach that. And it's called pranayama. A pranayama means the control of prana. And prana comes from the sunlight. It's in the air that we breathe. It's in water. It's in everything that has life.
Well, the ancients knew about that, especially the Egyptians.
Oh, yeah, ki.
Mm-hmm. Hika, they called it.
Sorry?
The Egyptians called it hika.
Oh, hika, yeah. But also, yeah. the Egyptians used linen filters over the portals in the homes. They had what's called chromotherapy today, but they used to filter the sun rays with different colored filters. And it's possible to filter prana from the sunlight. For an example, if you have a high temperature, you can use a blue filter to filter the sun, and it will reduce your temperature. Alternatively, you can, if you've got a low temperature, you can use a red filter and increase the temperature. You can use green for heart conditions or to harmonize the body. It's
called
harmonic.
That is very fascinating.
It's an interesting subject, and it's, you know, there's so much you can, obviously you can't talk about it on a radio station. There's so much involved.
It goes on and on and on. Yes, it's very. I find that those methods of developing are actually a lot different than some of the stuff that I've heard about and unlocking psychic abilities, because it really makes you work to dig. Develop it, not just you read this, you do that.
I think the problem is with people who are aspiring to be mediums, who know they have even a rudimentary form of mediumship, they tend to look in the wrong direction. They follow people who are allegedly mediums. They follow them and they look up to them. And when people come to my, when they came to my center in Liverpool, I'm not really interested. My approach is holistic. I look at the whole person, and if a person says to me, "I think I'm clairvoyant," I try to look at them wholly, and I give them certain techniques and exercises, such as candle scrying, which is a very effective method of cultivating the gift of clairvoyance. Anybody who thinks they're clairvoyant, and they might try meditation, they sit in circles to develop their abilities. But if you sit for 10, 15 minutes just looking at the flame of a candle, and the idea really is not to blink. You try not to look away from the candle for a moment. You just watch the flame of the candle flicker without blinking. And when your eyes tear, when you can't look any longer, you close your eyes, you place the palms of your hands over your eyes, and you apply a little bit of pressure to the eyeball, and the after image will come into your mind. And the idea is to hold the image for as long as you possibly can. When it becomes fragmented and disappears, you open your eyes and you return your eyes to the flame of the candle, and you repeat the process. You do that three times. You do that every day. And what it actually does is stimulates the image-making faculty of the brain. And it helps people who are not able to visualize or imagine. It stimulates their faculty and will cultivate the ability to see things. And it's an ideal tool.
What about people who are clairsentient, who claim to see, to feel things from people? Do you have any exercises for that?
Well, the funny thing is about clairsentience, I use intuition as an umbrella term. Clairsentience is something we all possess. Before man evolved even the most rudimentary form of speech, anthropologists believed that our prehistoric forebears communicated their thoughts and feelings telepathically. So telepathy is the principle, the underlying principle of communication, mediumistic communication. And in fact, one notable writer, a man called Maurice Maeterlinck, he was a 19th century dramatist and a mystic, he said, "We only develop speech so we could tell lies."
How interesting is that? Well, I guess that if you, there's no lying telepathically.
Well, exactly.
There can't be.
This is the thing about telepathy. We have evolved another way of communication. And clairsentience, there was a man called Ivan Tutinsky. He was a neuroscientist in Moscow University in 1903, and he became fascinated with people's experiences of a paranormal nature, particularly those of children. And he actually compromised his professional integrity by investigating it and doing a lot of research, and he was ridiculed by his peers. And he found out, he said that he eventually concluded that the pineal gland which is a pine-shaped gland deep in the brain, was larger in a child than it is in an adult, and more developed in a female than it is in the male. So we concluded that the pineal gland was a sort of a prehistoric radar device. It would enable the person, because it's got crystalline deposits around it, it enabled the person to monitor molecular changes in the atmosphere to enable them to sense disembodied souls, if you like. So he concluded that children were more sensitive than adults, and women were in fact more sensitive than men. Now the interesting thing is, he also concluded, and we're talking about somebody in 1903, mm-hmm. the early part of the 20th century, he said people with these abilities, particularly males, they're often very effeminate. In other words, there are 70 or 80% of male mediums are gay, which is an interesting subject, really. So a lot of male mediums are gay, even though they may be married, or, you know, they may not appear gay, but there's something very prissy about them. And it's a fact here in the UK, you find a lot of gay mediums, male mediums.
Well, they're more sensitive because they have more of the, I guess they're more in touch with the female energy within themselves.
Well this is what Tutinski said. He said it's actually a female thing. It's in yoga. It's called the Ida energy, the yin energy, which is the female. And in yoga, you have Ida and Pingala. Pingala is the male energy, and Ida is the female. And yoga actually means union. So you're talking about in yoga, you unify the two energies, the two energy systems. And people who are really intent on developing their mediumistic skills, they often don't pay any attention to the harmonizing factors, the internal harmonizing factors. So they just want the end product, and they don't really pay any attention to the spiritual foundation, which is vitally important in development of the faculties.
I totally agree with you. It has to be a holistic thing. Because if it's not approached holistically, I don't believe that you can be authentic. You can't, and seriously. Because you haven't put in the time. I think it's like anything, you know, you've got to devote the time to it. Don't you agree?
I do agree, absolutely. I mean, development, spiritual development, is an ongoing thing. You're never fully developed. I mean, I was born in 1946, and I don't regard myself as being fully developed. I'm still experimenting with different concepts, different things, and you learn something every day. And what I find a bit crass is when people, young mediums, say, I never read because the spirit world give me all the information. And I think that's quite true. Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard this so often in my workshops. People who are quite intelligent, I never read, don't read anything, the spirit world will give me all the information. And I think, yeah, well, it really shows. Because I think the onus is on you, the aspirant, to read as much as you possibly can to obtain as much information as you can. And I've always read as much as I can. Not just about psychic things, but, you know, mystical and different concepts. I think that's the way you fill your mind. And I think the spirit world can only use what you've got, and they will pick. You are only as strong as your weakest thought.
Also, there's something to, you know, the language of metaphysics, and how are you going to know that or be able to recognize what you see if you haven't researched it or haven't learned it?
Exactly, yeah. I think also people, when we use the terms clairaudience and clairvoyance, I mean, clairaudience obviously means clear hearing, but the sounds of clairaudience are not always sounds. They can be extraneous thoughts coming into your mind, a sequence of thoughts that you know are not your own thoughts. Or you can have sensations in your stomach, in your solar plexus, which are like funny sounds or rumbling sounds in your stomach. And there's an organization in the UK who, I can't remember the guy's name, but he believes that people with psychosis, people with psychotic illnesses, are low-grade mediums. They are people whose faculties, whose chakras have opened spontaneously and subjected them to these supersensual impulses of a low grade, because in the astral world, you might find the vagabonds, people who are debauched, people who have been drug addicts, people who have been alcoholics, people of a low order of mind. If they haven't dealt with the problem before they pass into the spirit world, they still have the problem. They don't suddenly become angelic and all-knowing. They still have the impurities that they had when they were in this world. The only difference is they don't have access to physical people, but you do have access to people's minds who are very similar to them. This is the law of attraction. So people who are ignorant, people who develop the faculties to become mediums because they have a rudimentary form of sensitivity, they are open like lighthouses, or beacons of light. And the people and the vagabonds in the lower astral world will gravitate towards them and infiltrate their auras, their bioluminescence, and eventually they will influence their minds. So you have to, it's not enough to be mediumistic or sensitive. You have to have some kind of overcoat, some kind of
protection
of knowledge. You have to learn as much as you can. And I really was always a bit apprehensive of students sitting in what we call a development circle under the supervision of a medium. Now that medium is responsible for the students in the circle, the aspirants. And I would always want to know what that medium knows. Are they qualified to look after me or to look after the other students? Because it's a responsibility, and whether people like it or not, mediumistic development is an emotional minefield. If there's any psychology, any problems with your historical background, you have a history of psychological problems, it's always advisable not to be involved in the paranormal of any kind, because it can precipitate a nervous breakdown. Because the chakra system is a very intricate network. Chakras are not only vortices of energy, they're equated to electrical transformers. Their job is to modify, to control, and distribute energy that comes into the being, into the human organism. And if any of these chakras are inactive or not really transporting the energy sufficiently, then there can be problems, not only of a psychological nature, but they can cause physical problems, anatomical problems.
Do you believe that the chakras themselves can hold hereditary, can carry hereditary things, like from one life to another?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you're the first person who has actually mentioned this, because the majority of people don't accept this concept. Chakras are cosmic banks. They contain within them all the experience from your past lives, your past incarnations. Mm-hmm. And as you develop, this experience is returned to you in your present, your current incarnation. And sometimes the experience is not very nice. It could be something that you didn't address in a previous incarnation, a problem in your character, in your makeup, your emotional makeup. And this is why I believe that a lot of mediums, I've never known a healthy medium. Mediums are unhealthy people because it's based on poor health. And I think a lot of it is to do with previous incarnations. So yeah, that's absolutely right, I think so. It's my opinion.
Well, it makes sense because we have to bring something through with us from one life to the next because it's a spirit energy, an electrical energy, like you say. But that is very fascinating.
Brenda, we need to take a commercial. I'm sorry.
Hi. Billy, we're going to take a couple minutes here for a commercial, okay?
Okay, that's fine. That's okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Billy Roberts. So, we talked a lot about developing the psychic abilities and some of the methods of, you know, that you use with your students. Yeah. But I have a question for you because it's a question that we as psychics and mediums get asked a lot. People always ask us, can you read for yourself?
Well, I think it's possible, but, you know, it's human nature to block certain things. I mean, my mother used to say you should always respond or act upon your first instincts about yourself. And I've done this, but there's some kind of impurity in our makeup, our psyche, that makes us block it out, I think. There are occasions when I do something called psychic handwriting analysis, which is not graphology, it's a different concept. And I will do a sample of my handwriting, put it in an envelope, and I will leave it for 24 hours and look at it the following day. And I'm impressed with certain feelings and things that are going to happen. Whether I act upon these feelings or these warnings is another thing, because quite often we don't do it. But in answer to your question, generally speaking, I think it is very difficult because we only, like most people, we only hear what we want to hear. And we only see what we want to see.
We can't be objective, exactly.
Very difficult to be objective.
Now, what would you do, like, for example, if you... Now, that handwriting thing, I think, is very fascinating. I've never heard of that before, but I do believe that other psychics. Now, Maureen, are you there? What do you use
for what?
Like if you're going to read for yourself?
Oh, I don't read. I do not. I cannot do that. I am totally. The reason why is a lot of people I feel read for themselves, and they're doing all the positives, finding all the wonderful things. I'm very negative about what I would see, and I that's just me, my view. I won't read for people I'm emotionally attached to, family. Well, I have maybe once, family members. Yeah. I just want to be as objective as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult, I think, to read for family or close friends. There's always in psychology, there's something called retrospective analysis, mm-hmm. and this is recalling things that you already know about somebody. When you're giving a demonstration of clairvoyance and there's somebody in the audience that you go to with a message, later on you recall that you do know them, but there are pieces of information that stay in your subconscious mind that you didn't know that you knew, But later on, when you analyze it, you think, well, I knew that. I know that from somewhere. And the mind is very funny. And you know, mediums or clairvoyants, they develop what's called eidetic memories. This is the ability to memorize things very, very quickly, images, sounds. And mediums have to develop something called peripheral hearing as well as vision. Women more than men can be engrossed in a conversation, and women can listen to different conversations in other areas of the room. In other words, women are very nosy, they're very observant, unlike men. And mediumship.
Nosy. Yeah.
Nosy.
I mean, I don't know whether you use that term in the States, but women tend to analyze things more than men. And I always, the other thing I think, that mediumistic, a propensity towards mediumship seems to go along with certain astrological signs. For an example, the water signs are more sensitive than anybody because it's an emotional sign, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Particularly in the female, they tend to be more analytical, they're more meticulous, and they tend to go for the detailed information. And they're more maternal. Women generally are more maternal. People like Aryans, a lot of the veteran mediums were Aryans, or they were Capricorns or Taurians, because they're head people. They tend to be deep thinkers and tend to want to prove survival. So I think, generally speaking, Brenda, what's your star sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Oh, you're a Capricorn. Mm-hmm. So I mean, obviously you're psychic, but you'd make probably, what's your date of birth?
The 24th of December.
So you're numerologically, you're influenced by the sign of Cancer and Gemini. Now, Geminis are not decision makers. They dither a great deal. It's got to be one thing or the other. But the Cancerian in you, which is not mainstream or traditional astrology, the Cancerians are very, like a crab, they walk sideways to avoid major issues. If your Capricorns have been divorced, or had emotional difficulties, which I think the majority of people have, they're very resilient. You're very resilient. I tell by your voice, you always bounce back. So you've been given, I think, a second chance to rediscover yourself and to begin again. So this is a new period for you. But also, women more than men go through seven
years. What about
cycles.
You, Billy? When's your birthday?
I'm the 24th of June, so my birthday is in a few days' time.
You're my polar opposite.
Yeah, but they complement each other, Cancer and Capricorn. The thing about Cancerians, they tend to be, they're the whingers. Nobody loves me, nobody wants me, I think I'll go and eat worms. We're like that from the very beginning of our birth. But going back to chakras, the C.W. Leadbeater, which he was a theosophist, he believed that when we're born, although all the chakras are there potentially, only one functions, and that's called Muladhara. This is the one at the base of the spine. And he also believed that every year it takes 12 months for a chakra to unfold, rather like a mini flower, a minute flower. So it takes 7 years for the full chakra system to unfold. And because they're connected to the endocrine glands and nerve plexuses, then you undergo a sort of a transformation during that 7 years. So a child, if you talk to a child about death, they don't know what you're talking about. Death is a completely alien to a child. We program our children, we teach it, we chastise it, and eventually those chakras close down completely. So the child forgets from whence it came. Because prior to that, up to the age of 7, children, generally speaking, can remember where they've been, where they came from. So spiritual development is about remembering It's not something that is given to you. It's something that you need to remember. It's me, the teacher, teaching you how to remember what you've forgotten. And that is basically spiritual development. Because as you said earlier on, everything is in the chakra system. These are not only likened to levels of consciousness. They are all your potential, creative, all the abilities that you have are contained within the chakra system.
Spiritually, emotionally, and physically, because it does manifest physically too.
Exactly. So. But also you can tell a person, you can tell by a person's gait, the way they walk, their body language, which chakra needs to be dealt with. For an example, people who have muladhara problems, the base chakra, people who spend their whole lives in the base chakra, they don't move their arms when they walk. If you look at a man or a woman walking into the supermarket, the mall, the shopping precinct, and they don't move their arms, it's because they have muladhara problems. Because any inactivity in the chakra system impacts on the physical makeup of the person. A person who doesn't look you in the eyes when they talk, they have anahata problems. This is the heart chakra, emotional problems. They may walk into a room and they look down at the floor or the ground. They don't look up. They have no confidence because the heart center is inactive. And one of the ways I do to check the chakra system is I use a kinesiology exercise. If you get the student to put a hand on the throat, for an example, the throat, which is Vishuddha, the throat chakra, and let them extend the other arm, and if you apply pressure to it and just see how strong it is, it will give you a measure of that chakra. And then you get them to move the hand up to the brow chakra, which is called Ajna, and let them extend the other arm and apply pressure to it. You'll see a difference in the strength, the activity. So you can check all the chakras out.
That's interesting. That's a great method. I'm gonna have to try that. I've been using pendulums.
Well, not as effective, really, because to be honest with you, pendulums don't appeal to everybody. But when you use a kinesiology pressure testing, it's very, very effective.
I bet it is. But
what I should have said is, before the person touches a chakra, you have to test their strength without touching anything. So you get them to extend their arm. You apply pressure to it to tell them to push up. And you see how strong they are. Then you let them rest, and then you let them put one hand on the brow chakra or the head or the throat, the heart, and go down the chakra system sequentially and apply pressure to the arm, and it will give you a measure of each one. And once you've got that, you know more or less that it's working well for you, and you can also use that, obviously, with if you've got an allergy, a reaction towards certain food substances. You can get the person to put the hand on the food that they might have a reaction to, and you can apply pressure to the other hand, and it will tell you whether they have a sensitivity to it.
That's very fascinating. That's a fascinating way of using kinesiology. It really is. So we have just a few more minutes, Billy. So before we go, I would like you to tell us about, you know, what do you have planned in the future? Some projects, some appearances? Will you be coming to the United States? What's up?
Well, I work in New York every year. I do private events. I was in Lilydale last year. And I've been filming in the UK. I've got a new television series called Living with Angels and Demons. And I work with an American Catholic exorcist and a parapsychologist. And we're looking at human experiences. What makes one person see an apparition as divine or holy or spiritual, and another person with a background of religion see it as demonic or evil. So the three of us, we look at the experiences of different people and try to ascertain whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's all in the mind. And it's an interesting program, but it's on around Christmas time in the UK and hopefully in the States next year. And I've got 5 books out this year. You said I've got 14 books, but actually I've got 25 books out, of which come out this year.
Okay, I stand corrected. Well, Billy, thank you so much for joining us and staying up late. It's been so fascinating. We could talk all night. I'm sure we could.
Oh, I think so. Nice to speak to you. It was my pleasure anyway. I enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you for sharing your insights with us, and you have a good restful night, okay?
Thanks, Pam. Can I just say, if anybody's listening, they can go onto my Facebook page and make me a friend and keep in touch.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, for more information about Billy Roberts, please visit his website at http://billyroberts.co.uk. And also his contact information is on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on psychic vampires, which was an awesome show, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, the how-tos of psychic development, just about everything in the psychic world. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends, tell everybody to join us in our chat room and to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number for later at the end of the show is, and I'm sure somebody's going to put it in the chat room, 724-444-4851. Okay, now we're at the point in the show where I like to call it the kibitzing. Okay, we'll start with Steve. Steve, you have any questions?
What's a kibitzing? I'm sorry, I'm not Steve.
The kibitzing.
It's a gefilte fish.
No. Okay, Steve. Any points, any comments?
Well, I really enjoyed the interview, firstly. He's an incredible guy. I've heard of him for a number of times, and I was looking at his website and certainly want to order some of his books.
He
is very interesting, very knowledgeable. I really enjoyed what he was saying about observing how a person walks and the insight that can give about the extent to which a person's chakras are balanced or which chakra may be imbalanced.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I do. To be honest, the more I learn, the more I realize that everything is meaningful. Absolutely everything is meaningful. And this point about the way a person walks, whether they use their arms when they walk, etc., it just is more confirmation that absolutely everything is meaningful. I enjoyed the discussion about astrology. The only thing I would say is that whilst, yes, the water signs are the more sensitive signs, it's not just a question of the sun sign, because in actual fact, it's more Neptune and Uranus that we look for to identify a person's psychic or mediumistic ability. And if somebody's got Neptune in a water sign in the eighth house, then they're definitely mediumistic. But I also found his comment about gay men particularly interesting, because obviously I'm gay, and I've often wondered whether there's some kind of connection between sexuality or gay men and sensitivity or psychic and mediumistic ability, because I do think there's something in that. It's something I'd quite like to research. But again, you see, you can tell astrologically when you look at a person's natal chart if they have a good level of natural psychic ability or mediumistic ability. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say is that my personal view is that we're all psychic because we're animals, and animals are very psychic. They don't think like we think. They don't have the monkey brain skipping around. And I remember reading a little while ago about a volcano eruption and the authorities going in afterwards to try and rescue animals and realizing that all of the animals had just left before the eruption. They sensed it because they're so in tune with the earth. And we are as well. We're in tune with the whole universe. So I believe that we're all psychic and we're all indeed mediumistic, but just as you may have a more natural predisposition towards playing music or musical instruments, you may have a more natural predisposition towards, or a stronger predisposition towards, psychic work or mediumship.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's interesting you say about animals and especially earthquakes, because when I first got my dog, and I know I talk about my dog a lot, but he's pretty amazing, but we had an earthquake, but about 5 minutes before the earthquake, he got off his bed and he started barking and barking and barking at us, like warning us, and then the earthquake hit.
I'm very good at that too, but I don't bark.
So, Maureen, being an empath present challenges considering your professional work?
Well, earthquake wise, you guys bring that up. Well, I'm walking right into there, but and it does apply to that. But I used to be a resident psychic on a FM radio station in Los Angeles in the 90s, and I was Miss Thing. Anyway, I don't consider myself a predictor of earthquakes, but it still happens to me because I feel so intensely the environment. And I am going to go into the empath thing, but I would feel them before the animals, and I could hear them. And we had a Northridge earthquake in California in 93 or 94, I believe. I could literally hear it, and I was with somebody who was in the middle, and I go, can't you hear that sound? And the dogs were barking it. And it happens, and I usually will, 2 weeks prior to that, I'll feel really awkward. So on the radio, I would talk, and I was always hitting them, not hitting them, I was getting these earthquakes right, but it was putting a lot of wear and tear on my body. But empathically speaking, it's the same kind of thing.
What would you hear? Like, what would you hear?
It was a sound. It was a roaring sound. Like, because I was in Long Beach, for instance, there was a Whittier earthquake, or Northridge, which is not where Long Beach is, but it's in the county. You know, Brenda, you're from this, this area. So I was, it was very tormenting. I could hear this extremely loud sound to my ears. I could hear this. Now, nobody in my roommate's time once, I don't hear anything. It was coming from Los Angeles. So I was hearing it way before normal ears, normal hearing, would come about, and then it would just come into, you know, and it hit Long Beach. That was the Northridge Woody earthquake that happened in the 1987, same thing happened. But I would, for 2 weeks prior to that, I would talk about it because I can feel it going through my whole, it's hard to explain, it's like electric, it's like I can feel myself, it's like if you're standing, I could feel energy going all the way down to the center of the world, the ground, like into the center, like someone drilled into the center of the ground, you know, down below, like hundreds of thousands of feet. And I would get severe arthritis. And I didn't have arthritis. I was in my late 20s. But my body was getting out of whack. And I still do this. I mean, it still happens to me. My body gets affected. And like I know, before the dogs will bark, or lately they don't before an earthquake. I've noticed in California much. But the dogs usually will do. But no, this would happen beforehand. And so I've always told, like, my daughters, just saying. And I can feel it. And it happens. I'm very sensitive to the environment. Not that I want to be. But as far as the empath goes, that I'm really, so physically I'm sensitive to the environment anyway. I feel that my, physically speaking wise. Now, mm-hmm. I can't explain it. I don't know what, you know, I'm not saying that I'm all that, or that I'm just stating it is a fact that this happens to me. But also being the empath and the challenges in the work I do, it's almost like a lot of people go, what's an empath? We all have the abilities and it's some level, you know, but there are lower levels. Not that people are lower energy vibrations, but for me, I pick up emotions and feelings around me too much. And if I'm not grounded, which a lot of the times when is the case sometimes, they don't belong to me. These feelings don't belong to me. And so the emotions are so strong. Sometimes it's even around the world I might pick up on some fears or whatever, and I'm not even politically involved. But I feel like I'm like a sponge. But like I said, the majority are low-level people that are, you know, they're empaths, but they're on a lower level, so, and they're the lucky ones as far as I'm concerned. But the high level, like myself, I'm like a psychic sponge, and I absorb way too much, and it's very difficult. It's like pollution. It's like psychic vampire. It's a pollution.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you don't want to be so open that you're getting everything from everybody, but I relate to that feeling you said of you feel awkward, you know. A lot of times when something's about to happen and I know it's going to happen and I can't put my finger on it, for a couple days I'll just feel unsettled.
Right.
And then I know I've got to start looking into it. Okay, what's going to happen? What's going on? Do I even want to know? Do you know what I mean?
Right. It is very unsettling because you can't... You know, I always thought it'd be nice to get dreams. People get, you know, the dreams or visions of dreams. And that would be easier. But, yeah, it is unsettling because you undermine yourself about what maybe it's... Well, I was always told growing up, see, that's another thing. Oh, you're... I wasn't embraced, you know, let's put it this way, you know, the families here, but embraced you with your gifts or whatever they were. But I found it very hard. So, you know, I had an ulcer at 13. I was treated for an ulcer, you know, at the upper GI. A 13-year-old shouldn't be having ulcers. And so it was a real problem, and I didn't know I'd be doing this professionally. It's just my work I'm supposed to do. It wasn't like I read a book here, I'm going to be a psychic when I grow up. But I do have to feel, I have to meditate. You know, I've been trying to do the best I can. What were you going to say, Brenda?
Oh, I wasn't going to say, I was just going to add to that. And I was going to, so you feel you probably had your psychic awakening right around 13. I had mine around age 14.
No, it was way before that. Mine was, my story goes, it was PK stuff that was going on with me when I was really young. And that's what made me crazy. No, and then UCLA, I did some finally when I was in my late 20s, the parapsychology department, that's when I was speaking about PK, there was PK movements. It wasn't ghosts, it was movements. Oh, it was something. And it was uncontrolled, I wasn't able to control it. I didn't even know what it was until I went to the library for 5 hours every day, obsessively. But I was self-medicating, and then when I stopped self-medicating is when I had to face the fact something was different about me. I always knew it, but at a young age, I started trying to run from it. That's where it all started. Yeah. So I do declare. There you have it.
Let's hear from Steve. We want inquiring minds that want to know about Steve and how he knew he was a medium.
Well, I just used to see people standing in the corner of my bedroom at night when I was a kid. So that's how it was for me. As a child, I would just see spirit people appearing, particularly at night. And my main guide would just stand and talk to me. So it was just normal to me, to be honest. It wasn't always easy. I think for kids it can be disturbing because it's quite stressful as a child to lose sleep because you're being disturbed by spirits and not really be able to talk with your parents about it and have them to actually understand that you didn't get much sleep or for them to believe what you're saying.
What did they say when you told them that you saw, you know, spirits? What was their reaction?
Well, my mother was, I was close to my mother, and I don't think it was anything I really discussed with my father, simply because he wasn't particularly present, and I didn't really talk with him a lot, but I would talk to my mother about it. And I remember my mother always really grieved the loss of her father. He passed the spirit about 4 years before I was born. So I'd never actually met him here on Earth, although he's always been a guardian to me. So my mother would get very upset about her father because she just missed him dreadfully. They were so close. And I remember as a little boy, I would say, well, you know, he's here and you can talk to him anytime and nobody dies. So I would say things like that. And so she was more open to it. And in actual fact, my mother's incredibly mediumistic, but she doesn't believe that she has the ability. She's quite an interesting character because she has extremely vivid dreams and she sees spirit very clearly, but she always seems to just think it's her imagination. It's quite fascinating. She was telling me when I saw her in the UK just a couple of weeks ago that she walked into the bedroom and her husband, my stepdad, I call him dad because he's like a father to me. So she walked into the room and he was sitting on a chair and she said, but it wasn't him. There was another man, an older man was superimposed over him and he spoke to me. So she sees spirit so clearly, it's incredible. But then when you have the conversation with her about it, she'll say, oh, it was really real, but maybe I was just seeing things, or maybe I was just imagining it. She just always doubted herself in so many different ways. She's an interesting character. So it's in the family. I have three great aunts that were spinsters. They lived together in Liverpool, actually, which is where your guest was from originally. And they used to do tea leaf rooms.
Oh, interesting. How neat.
I never met them, but my mother tells very interesting stories about them. So it does run in the family genetically. And so I think one of the ways of knowing how much of a predisposition we have towards mediumship or psychic ability is to actually inquire about the family history.
And you know what, Steve? Everybody who's in this, who does this, they've have somebody in their family. There is. Because I believe it's inherited.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Just like we inherit diseases or a predisposition towards certain diseases. You can see in a person's natal chart which illnesses they are predisposed to in life and when it's likely to manifest. And we can avoid those occurrences, like we can avoid other disharmonious occurrences by projecting good mental alchemy and looking for remedies.
And vacations.
Vacation would be nice.
Holidays at Cancun or something like that.
Yeah, we should go.
Relaxation.
Well, we'll be seeing you soon, Steve, in California.
I'm excited. I forgot it was so soon. Actually, I was looking at my calendar before and realized it's just over a week away, isn't it? The week after next.
Yeah, we're going to go run the town crazy.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
For all of those listeners out there, the psychics of the Psychic Access Talk Radio psychics will be in L.A. at PopCon between the 7th of July to the 8th. So, okay, Maureen.
Out.
If you're there, stop by and see us. Maureen, have you had any personal experiences that you question whether you could continue to work as a professional psychic or intuitive?
Well, you know, I did. Well, this is my view again, but I was hurt, not by the likes of my own self. Some terrible person threw me to the ground, broke my collarbone, and my head was kicked in, whatever. The bottom line is I lost the sense of my smell. Some nerve was damaged. I guess a lot of athletes this happens to. Now, I had a sense of taste, but not the smell, and it was like over a year. And I felt damaged, and I was, I don't know if it was a truth or not, but I felt like I couldn't, because it's a sense. It's a sense, you know. It's one of the senses. And I cooked constantly. I had incense burning constantly. I cooked with garlic constantly, and it was a big joke amongst people. But it was very, you know, I think I focused on it so much, but I started questioning. Maybe I've lost my thing, because like I said, I didn't. It's not like I went to school to, you know, took classes to learn how to do what I'm doing. It's just, it is what it is. And I, you know, I don't, Brenda, I don't think you did either. You know, I think this is just the work that was picked for me. And so I did feel very awkward because of my smell and everything. And it's nice to be able to smell and the senses. And I was feeling now, it was also a very hard time for me emotionally because how it happened, and it wasn't how I was injured and how it was done. It was very violent and very upsetting. So I did, I stopped working for a while, and I was told it wouldn't come back in a year, would never come back, my sense. And it did come back in a year and a half. My smell did come back. So, you know, there you have it again. But
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, now is the time everybody's been waiting for. Yay! It's the time for readings. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And please, we can only limit our readings to one question, so please keep your questions very specific. And Steve, you have the first call from Montreal.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Montreal?
Hello.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. I just had a question about my love life.
Okay.
I'm just wondering what you see going on with it.
Let me see. I'm actually, when you asked that question, I'm drawn back to the month of May. Spirit of taking me backwards rather than forwards. I'm drawn to the middle of the month of May.
Okay.
And I feel a significant connection with the middle of the month of May. I feel that you met or dated somebody in the middle of the month. Does that make sense? Can you hear me? Brenda, I think we've lost the caller.
I think we lost. I heard like a little beep. Well, okay. Well, then I guess we're gonna move on.
Maybe she'll call back.
Yes. Oh wait, she's still there. Here we go.
Sorry.
No worries. Did you hear what I said about the middle of the month of May?
Yeah, I did. And I had said that I was talking with somebody and we were supposed to meet, but we never did.
Okay, well, I do feel that you will meet him. My guides take me back to the middle of the month of May, and I feel a connection there. I do feel that you'll meet him. I don't feel necessarily that he's the man of your dreams, or he's the person that you'll settle with, but I am drawn back to that, and I feel that you should meet. But I'm also drawn forward to the month of October, and I feel that energetically that's a good time for you, that in the fall season you will meet somebody then. But my guides are saying to you, don't be overly dependent upon, or overly fixated upon meeting somebody, because as I know we've said this before, but in terms of the law of attraction or mental alchemy, you know, when we get to the stage where we're so in love with ourselves, so appreciative of ourselves, that we realize we're complete and we don't need to find somebody. We're just fine as we are, and we can enjoy life in really well as individuals. That's when we're really detaching, and that's when things really happen, surprises happen. So that's what they're saying to you. But I do feel drawn forward to the month of October and then back to the month of May. I do feel that you should follow up on the month of May. Okay?
Do you still see this guy from the month of May present in October with me?
I do. I don't necessarily feel it will be a relationship, but I do feel a connection.
Okay.
Well, I wish you lots of luck.
I'm sorry?
I wish you lots of luck, but do follow up with the guy that you were due to meet in May.
Okay, I just want to make it clear though, do you see me meeting like a second guy in October?
I do, yes. I do.
Okay. Okay, all right.
Okay, let us know how you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care, bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, Maureen from New York.
Okay, thank you. Hello, New York. I love New York. This is Maureen.
Hi, I have, I guess, I don't know if it's an unusual question or not, but I don't know, I've been trying to meditate a little bit and also group meditation, and I'm too stuck in my brain, and I just want to know, like, if you can tell me what's going to let me kind of get out of my brain and into a meditative state.
Okay, what's your name?
Anne,
okay, thank you, Anne. I understand what you're saying, or I understand your question, and it's a very good, direct question. Thank you very much. You know, this is what my feeling is. Are you doing this? Well, first of all, things are not what they appear to be. I think that if you kind of not put it all into thought, because I don't think there's any particular way that you're supposed to be meditating, and if you have too much in your head, it's okay. I think you need to be a little bit not so hard on yourself with it, and just if it's something, or if you can only do it for a couple of minutes or whatever, I don't feel that you're doing anything wrong, because I think each individual, I feel very strongly, and in your case, I feel that you're getting it, even though you may not think so because someone else or some book or whatever else, someone says that's not really what you're supposed to be doing, you're not going to get the benefit of it. But I do see that there's a gentleman I'm seeing here around you who looks like somebody that would be like a good teacher or spiritual advisor, somebody. He looks like a father, he's older, and I'm wondering, have you been working with anybody at all? Have you been thinking about working with the meditation? You know, sometimes we go to people that will help us, instruct us. Have you?
No, just, I don't want to spend any money. I just want to, you know, yeah.
Right, I don't think he would cost any, he's not somebody I feel that would cost, he's just somebody that, he's not like somebody I see paying money for this, but, you know, even though I think that you're, I feel pretty soon that you're going to be able to focus on, it's almost like I see you juggling the situation around, and I see that you're really searching for a deeper meaning, but I think that right when you're about ready, I feel that you get it, you're getting it. But then I think you come back and you say, well, I think I'm imagining all this. I think your form of meditation, whatever that is that you're doing, and whatever, you know, for me, I used to do TM meditation in the 70s. I don't know if you're doing it a certain way or whatever. I feel that it's unconventional for you, and it's not, and that's the best way for you to do it. I think that you're doing just fine, and you are searching. I think your intent for meditating, and I see it actually, you're doing okay. I think that you're questioning yourself too much, and I feel that once you release from that, if something's in your mind while you're doing it, just be observing it. I would be the observer of what you think is going wrong, and I'd write it down on note paper or something. And also I'd write down maybe a paragraph about how you want your meditation to go before you begin it. How many times a day are you doing it? Once? Are you doing it once?
Well, I don't do it on any kind of a regular basis, because when I start, I just get frustrated that nothing is happening. And then I won't, like, I'll do it like maybe once a month, or it's very irregular. And okay. I'm kind of trying to get into a different vibrational state so I can sort of speak to my higher self and understand
right.
some of my issues.
Right, and I do feel that your intent is very good, because I do see you're searching for a deeper meaning. You know, I do feel that you do better if you're outside, outside around plants or white flowers. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's. And I also feel that you might want to try just doing a couple minutes at a time, not maybe just once a month. I'm not saying every day, but just even a couple minutes, just sit down. I feel that it's working. It's working for you. I just think that your expectations are a little bit off because of so much stuff that you hear, because of other things that you know about meditation. And I'm speaking also because I can identify with what you're going through. And I do see you outside more, just being able, just for a few minutes, and I feel that you are, I see a lot of changes coming up for you. I really do, and plus like I said, your motivation is very positive. Things aren't what they appear to be, but I do see someone else helping you meditate, or someone else is interested in meditation. And it's not like you pay them, like I said, but it's somebody that would be really easygoing. I think you should just do what you're doing and not think that you're doing anything wrong. It's not that I feel that. I don't see that. I think you're doing it all right. And just,
but
even
I'm
if
not
it's not
getting
perfect
any
for you.
Words. Like I'm not being able to tap my higher self and to talk to my higher self.
Well, yeah, but don't go in with exactly that reason or that's what you want to accomplish. That's the end result. Just if you do that and get that with no expectation, you'll be surprised how you will tap in. Do it for yourself, just to feel relaxed. If you maybe just have that motivation and for deeper meaning, you can just imagine that there's going to be a lot more that you'll get. If you're going in there trying to find your guides and their angels or whatever, it's too much stress on you. It's being forced too much. Do you follow me? Oh, I wasn't supposed to say. Well, anyways, I really feel that I do feel that you would need to do every day, even just for a few minutes daily, not just once a month, and not just for the whole idea behind getting to see your guides. It gets too much expectations on you, and it won't happen. It will happen if you just let go of that part of it. You really absolutely will.
Okay, and I have to do it outside and, like, with plants?
No, I didn't say that. I said it might be nice to do it some outside if it's warmer. It seems like it would be... It's like you transcend better outside. I just seen you outside and there's white flowers if it's warm outside. I'm not saying you have to. And you don't have to do anything other than what feels comfortable for you. I'm just giving you an encouragement of maybe trying a little bit outside, just a little bit every day, not once, just a month.
I've heard observing your thoughts, but I don't understand. I don't think I've ever observed my thoughts. I don't understand that idea.
Well, don't focus so much on you're doing this meditation just to find your guide. You know, what I mean is, because it won't work for you that way. So if your mind starts going in that direction, just observe it and let it go. And just be trying to think something else, you know. It's
okay.
Okay. I hope I helped you. And staring directly. No, you know, you really, and you're doing okay, and I know your intent is good, but I think it's about meeting the guides. I think it's all that stuff you read about, all the stuff that's cool, but I think it's about meeting yourself at a certain level that will bring you into the next stage of where you're going to be able to be open to meeting the guides, you know, and what you're talking, guides, angels, masters, whatever you want to call them. It'll come, and I see that you have the capability, absolutely, okay?
Okay. Have I been observing my thoughts up till now? Because I really don't understand what that means.
Anytime you start getting, like you think there's too many thoughts in your head and you're not doing it right, stop yourself, observe it, and just keep meditating for a few more minutes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay. And you can come over to psychicaccess.com if I can help you more, or either all three of us, either one of us. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Sure. Thank you.
I know meditation can be very confusing. Okay, there's a call from me from Pennsylvania. Hi, Pennsylvania.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. What can I do for you this evening?
I have upcoming divorce. I was wondering if you could, my current boss offered to set me up. I've been working with this woman lawyer. He offered to set me up with some high expensive lawyers to basically, make his life living hell and squeeze every penny out of him. I was just wondering about the, if I should stay with her and how the outcome looks.
Well, let's take a look here. You know, I have to tell you honestly, I mean, there are some, you know, some people want to go that route and squeeze every penny and create that kind of situation.
Right.
But what I'm seeing is, and this would be entirely your choice, that new foundations are needed in the communication and the direction in which the divorce is going. And I do feel if those are laid in the right way, and I don't feel it's in the way that either one of you gets completely, like, shafted, I feel that this is going to turn in your favor. As a matter of fact, I see Wheel of Fortune, which tells me it'll turn in your favor and you will have the justice and you will have what you deserve. But if it's brought in with the intent of negativity, I really feel that your ex is, or your soon to be ex is really going to put his back up. I really see that, and make it a lot more difficult.
It's been going on for 4 years. The divorce has been going on for 4 years. He doesn't want to give me anything.
I feel that there is going to be a way in which he's going to have to give you what you deserve, but I don't feel that I really don't feel that the going at him the way he's going at you, just by what I'm seeing here, is going to do it. I feel that there's going to be some other solution in which he's going to be compelled to do what's right, is what I see.
Okay.
And I feel that it's a woman, not a man, that is going to make this happen. It may not be the woman that you're using now, but I do see a woman in this.
Okay. You don't know if it's a Julia. That probably doesn't help you any.
The woman I see is somebody who's tough, but she's also smart enough to know that, you know, there has to be give and take on both sides. He can't just take everything, and she's the person that I see will put it before a judge as soon as possible. And when that happens, I feel you're going to get what you deserve.
Okay. But you really can't tell if that's the woman I'm working with now.
The woman that I see has dark hair.
She could go. She's like 30, dark brown, like.
Dark brown.
Medium brown.
Dark brown. It's not blonde. Not a light-haired person. It's a person who has brown hair, not black.
Right. Well,
Yeah, Julia has brown hair. It's not a light brown. It's more of a medium brown.
Mm-hmm. That could be her. Has she got a good reputation?
No, she's a new lawyer. She's a new lawyer.
Hmm. Well,
I don't want to be negative. I mean, I know the kids are grown and out of the house. I don't want to be, a total, suck the life out of him. But he's hiding money, and he's hiding all this other stuff. And I'm just tired of it. It's been 4 years.
Right, but I feel that there's going to be a victory handed to you in when you go before a judge. Do you have a court case coming up?
August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I meet with her Monday.
Okay. Well, it feels like once this goes before the judge, I feel that this time I see them looking at it and looking at the past history of this and seeing that you need to, that he needs to pay you and he needs to work with you. So, and if you want to know, a little bit more details on this, you can contact one of us later online. That'd probably be best for more detail. It's hard to do in like a minute, what I mean? This is a pretty intense subject.
I understand. All right, thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Steve.
Thank you, Brenda. The caller's from California, I think.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Who's calling from California?
Hi, guys. Hi, Steve. This is Ivan from California.
Hi, your name is Ivan.
Ivan, correct. Yeah.
Hi, Ivan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm calling because I've been having this really strong feeling that I'm going to have a job change soon and improve finances, and I just want to call and see if you see that same thing that I think I'm feeling.
Okay. I'm drawn to the months of September and the month of May as well, and I feel that around a quarter of the way into, or just after 1 week into September, there's a significant change in your career. And I'm drawn through to the month of May next year. I feel as though your financial circumstances and life generally will really have transformed by the time of May next year. And I feel as well that your change in work is not just a change in your job, it's literally a complete change of track in your career. I really feel that you'll shift track completely. But there's some kind of connection. You have a gentleman in spirit who was in the medical field. I feel that he's at least two generations above you. I feel that he's on your father's side of the family as well. And I feel that he's referring to the month of August. And when I get that from spirit, it means that he would have been born or he would have passed in the month of August. So check on the family history, because he comes through really clearly. And part of his message to you is, let me see, you're brilliant with people. You're very, very confident with people, Ivan.
Yeah.
And you're a great person to have in front of other people. So whether that's some connection with media, or it's working with the public, but working with a lot of people, because I see you speaking in public. But that's what my guides are saying. This is a real strength for you. You've got lots of charisma, and you're a good-looking guy. You present yourself really well. And they're saying that you really should believe that your aspirations are possible. You know, sometimes when things don't unfold as quickly as we want them to, we convince ourselves that it's not the right path. But they're saying to you, you really are in tune with the path you should take. You know what you should be doing. You just got to believe in yourself and go for it. Magical things happen. So you need to just go for it, Ivan. And I feel that September's a real big time of change and opportunity for you.
That's good. I've been having a feeling lately that it's time for a change, or it's time, you know, something's about to happen. So that sounds great.
Yeah, but you've got to have the vision, Ivan. You've got to, or you don't have to, but in terms of actually working with spirit and working with the universe and and energy, it's best to have a clear vision. And you know what your path is. You've got to start making it happen. You've been sitting on the sidelines, and it's time for you to step forward. This is what my guides are saying to you. Do you have a clear picture of what you want to do?
I work in music. I work in the music industry. That's pretty much always what I've done. But I've been sort of stuck, you know, the past few years in one area, and I want to grow and I want to do more. But, you know, I always felt like I've been stuck.
Well, I see connections with media for you. I do feel that you'll continue to have connections with music, but I feel more of a connection with TV, to be honest. But you need to take some time just to reflect and tune into yourself and go for what you're passionate about. Go for where you feel led. And if you take action, you'll find that it happens, that the floor, you step off the cliff and the land sort of comes up beneath you and meets you, and magical things happen. Okay? But definitely feel changes for you in September.
September.
I wish you lots of luck.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ivan. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Maureen, you have a caller from Virginia.
Thank you so much. Hi, caller from Virginia.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
I have a question
What's your name?
I am planning, well, we were planning to do a vacation with a friend of mine, and all of a sudden the communication ceased. Not sure exactly what is going on. Do you see us still going on a trip? Do you see the communication starting up? And
got it. Okay. So I got the picture, what you're saying. Okay, this is what I'm getting. First of all, you know, as far as you go, as far as I can see you, you've liberated yourself, and I think that you're on a very good track. I think it's really you're having, I don't think there's anything you can possibly do to make your friend. Are they a couple or just another person? A friend. Okay. I get a feeling that it's really hard for you to connect with this person. I just get they're not as attainable as they used to be or could be. And I hope that makes sense to you, but I feel that there's a lot of commotion they're facing, and they're stressed. Everything's coming at them. You know, I am getting that you will be going on this trip together, though. I really do. I also feel that you're going to feel like you don't have the strength to deal with this. But I think in the next 4 weeks, well, actually, hopefully the trip hasn't already. When is this trip? What's the time frame are we talking about with this trip?
The trip was supposed to be in August.
Okay. Well, this is my feeling. I think it's like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And when I say my time frame, I could be wrong. Everybody can hear me say it, and I could be. But my time frame, I'm trying to say is within that time frame. It's not, you know, you have to wait 3 weeks. But within a 3 to 4 week period, I feel it's going to be kind of difficult to connect. It's not because of anything you're doing. It's their stress. I just see their stress coming from their end. They're getting through it. I do see things will start, they no longer stagnate. Things will start moving along. And I do actually see you having a strong communication, and I do see you going on this trip. But I also feel that you're going to feel like you don't have the strength available to deal with this. I don't think it'll be fine. Whatever this person's issue is, has no reflection towards you. It's just their own sorting out torment. There's stuff going on. I don't think that they're being up front. You know, they're just not expressing it to you about it. There's just, it looks like, I don't know, projects or something. They're just under a lot of stress, and it's, but it does not have anything to do with you really, except to be nice in a perfect world for them to explain themselves, but it's just not happening. You know, you're doing quite well, and
so do you see them reaching out to?
Yeah, like yes, said, I do. But I feel it's going to be difficult for the next few weeks. I do see. Yes, I do. I see things moving back and moving along. Is anybody? Are you going on a? Is there a road trip around, or a car, or a new car, or something around this? I don't know.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a road trip. We weren't planning a road trip. It was actually international, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Well, I know. I do see that you'll go, and I do feel this. Like I said, there's not. You're doing quite well with whatever is going on within yourself. I think this person's just going to get through whatever is going on. Like I said, and I do see the stagnation will be over, and movement will start coming out. And I see this person like charging towards you, and very assertively. Yes, you're going to be going. And I know it's kind of. That's kind of hard to deal with right now, but I guess the best thing I can tell you is, I guess it will be worth the patience. However, like I said, if you can kind of not take it personally, it's hard. This person just, in a perfect world, if they could just tell you what's going on with them, but they're not.
Well, I don't know. He did kind of, you know, hinted that he's not a happy person these days. He didn't elaborate as far as, you know, what's going on. You know,
okay.
They didn't say what was going on, and it would be nice if they had shared, but I'm like, okay.
I got it. At least he did at least it's a he we're talking about, of course. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Any men out there, but you know how they are.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I do feel that it's something to do with, there's some pressures around, something to do with business or something like that. But I don't feel it's going to go on and on right to the last minute. So if you're planning in August, I do feel you're going. And you know what? It'll be great. It'll be really great. But if you can kind of think without your ego getting in the way, I don't see that he's not interested. There's no other person around. You know what I mean? I don't get any of that at all.
Well, it's kind of hard to not let my ego get in the way, but
I know, I know, I know, I know it is, and I'm first to say, you know, I know, absolutely, but I'm just saying,
I have to put up with this crap.
I see a road trip, and what a great time! You'll have a great time.
You'll
have a great time.
So you do see that the trip still taking place, and is he going to reach out to me?
Yes, I do. And I do see like a road, it is a road trip type of thing. And if it's not a new car, we'll be a rented car, but still it's kind of new.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. And I think it'll be a great time. Good for you.
Okay.
Cool. So have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Okay, sure. That was great. Thank you. The next caller is from Florida for me. Hi, Florida.
Hi.
How can I help you this evening?
Well, I have a problem with a coworker, and I don't know how to solve it. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay. Let's take a look. Well, the biggest thing that I see here is unrealistic expectations. and I'm also seeing that this situation is not going to last forever. Are you trying like get out of the area or the transfer to a different department at this time?
Well, yeah, I am looking, both, you know, to a different department and out of the state, rather.
Well, you know, I just feel that sometimes these situations, they are part of a bigger picture to push you into something that's actually going to work better for you.
Okay.
I do believe that you're going to receive some good news, and I'm seeing it next month because it's within 30 days. And this is this is going to be about a transfer. Because I don't see you, you know, completely leaving. I feel that you, within the same workplace, will get another opportunity. There is somebody watching out for you. And
that's wonderful.
You do have friends. You do. I mean, this person.
I do.
And, what?
Oh, I do. That makes me feel better.
You do. And, you know that this person has bullied other people before. You just happen to be the target right now. But you know what? In a way, and you're going to look back on this and you think this was a blessing in disguise. Seriously.
Oh, wonderful.
That's what it looks like, honey.
I'm still seeing the same state for a while.
Yes, you are. Uh-huh. That's what I see. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't see me moving anytime soon?
No, not at this time. Not for the rest of this year. I don't see that. I don't see you leaving anything like that behind yet. No.
Oh, okay. Do you know what this person looks like that's looking out for me?
This person is got brown hair, kind of brown skin, like a more darker skin, and older than you, kind of benevolent, an older person.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
No idea, but that's great.
All right, honey.
Okay,
hang in there.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just ignore that. Just ignore.
I would. There's nothing else you can do. You cannot be engaged. Do not allow yourself to be engaged.
So it's not me.
It's not you. It's coming from this person, and it's not about you, and it's nothing that you did.
Oh, okay, because I always look at myself first. So.
I know, and that's our tendency, but it doesn't look like you're finding anything. It's nothing that you did, right?
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Steve from Georgia.
Hmm. Thank you. Who's calling from Georgia?
Hi, Steve. It's Rose.
Hello, Rose. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, Rose. Thank you. How can I help?
Well, I'm curious to know where I stand with the guy I'm involved with and have been involved with for about a year and a half now.
Okay, let me see. Rose, I have to say to you, right now, I feel frustration, and my guides are pointing to you, saying that you feel frustrated, in that you don't have a clear understanding of where the relationship's going, or whether it has potential beyond what it is now, and I don't feel that he's giving you clear signals about his intentions. I feel a strong affection and strong attraction between the two of you, but I don't feel that he's being clear about what he wants in the longer term. And I feel particularly, actually, it's interesting because I'm drawn back with you again to the month of May. I'm drawn back to the beginning of May. And I feel that since the beginning of May, you felt that something's not right, or you've been frustrated since that time.
I didn't understand you, Steve.
Sorry, Rose. I was saying that I'm drawn back with you to the month of May to the beginning of May, and I feel that you've felt more uncomfortable or more uncertain about the situation since the beginning of May. And I basically don't feel that he's being clear with you about his intentions. I don't believe that he's making a commitment for the longer term. I feel that he wants to enjoy the relationship for what it is, but he's not necessarily stepping up and saying, these are my intentions for the future.
So his intentions have changed.
I don't feel that his intentions have changed necessarily. I just feel that he's enjoying the relationship as it is, and he's not prepared to make a commitment and say, I'm going to make the changes I need to make in my life in order to be with you. And I feel that you need to call him on that. I don't feel that you're being assertive enough about what you expect in the longer term. I feel that you're progressing in the hope that he's going to make a commitment to being with you in the longer term, and you're not being as direct as you should be about your intentions and what choices you would make if he's not prepared to make a commitment in the future.
Is he prepared to make those changes?
I don't feel that he is right now. I don't feel that he is right now, Rose. I know that he cares for you very much, and I know that there's a strong attraction. You get on brilliantly. There's lots of laughter and fun. But I don't feel that he is ready right now to make changes in his life, to unravel his life in order to move forward. And to be honest, a lot of it feels to do with finances, legal complexity. Mm-hmm. And I feel strongly from my guides that this is something that you need to address with him rather than just progressing in the hope that he's going to make a commitment in future, presuming that that's the case because you really enjoy your time together and you get on really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to
take a trip in July.
Sorry, say that again for me, Rose.
We're taking a trip together in July.
Okay. And are you planning to speak with him about the longer term?
That was my intention.
Yeah, and I feel that you should do that.
Yeah. To speak with him during that trip.
Yes, I feel it should be towards the end of the trip. I feel that the focus of it should be having a great time. But then I feel that towards the end of the trip, it's time for you to be open and honest about what you want in the longer term. You want a wonderful long-term relationship. So he needs to understand that, and he needs to be open with you about whether he can fulfill that need in the future or not. And I see you feel that you have such a great time together that you don't have these serious discussions. And he's enjoying having a great time, and he thinks the world of you and has wonderful times with you, and you're not saying, hold on, I have more expectations of the future. So I know that you'll have a great trip, Rose, but I feel at the end of it, you should have that discussion.
Is he prepared to go through the legal issues that would be involved for he and I to have that future together?
Not right now. I don't feel that he is right now. And I don't feel that he's made a decision about the longer term, Rose. That's why I feel you need to have the discussion with him. Because he needs to start thinking about this. He's not addressing. He's going along. He's enjoying this. But he's not addressing his personal circumstances. And he's not thinking as far ahead into the future as he needs to.
So he'll walk away.
No, I don't feel that he'll walk away. I don't feel that he'll walk away. I just don't feel that right now he's thinking logically, practically, about the longer term. I feel that he's living now and enjoying now. You're thinking further into the future. And he's just less focused upon the longer term. And you need to raise that awareness within him. Okay?
And what conclusion will he come to whenever I tell him what I want?
I don't feel that he's going to come to a conclusion straight away. I feel that the outcome is, from this discussion, he really thinks about what he wants in the longer term, and he's more open with you about going through that process of reflecting about his future and his life and what he wants and what would need to change. So I don't feel from my guides that it's a yes or a no, or that he's going to walk away. I just feel that you need to get him thinking about the longer term. So go enjoy the trip, Rose.
And we don't know what decision he will make.
I don't know. I don't feel he knows.
Okay.
Okay. This is why it's so important that you start to have the discussion with him.
Okay.
You have a wonderful time, Rose, and let us know how it goes.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Rose. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, Maureen, Wisconsin.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Hello.
Hi, and what's your name?
Duena.
Okay. Hi, and what can I help you with?
Yes, I wonder if you could tell me what you see in my love life, because I've been having kind of issues with men and everything. Just wondering what you see. Anything good coming to me, or anybody special or anything?
Okay, because of the time restraint that I have on this, maybe I want to make sure so I can help you the best I can. Is there one particular person that you're wondering about, or are you up for anybody? Because
I'm just wondering if it's, you know, like who you see or who you potentially see, if it's somebody, you know, if you see anybody coming into my life, somebody that's already in my life.
Okay, so but you do have somebody involved. You're involved in kind of a little bit right now. So I guess, you know what? This is what I'm getting. I feel that you're kind of like, for probably good reason, that you're perhaps like a little bit very, you closely watch everything about relationships, and I feel that there's probably some very valid reasons from your past. A little bit like you're wondering if this is on the up and up, and I think that sometimes you don't know if you're seeing things that are, you know, this is too good to be true type of a deal, right? I do get that you have a really good, you know, I see your outlook. You want to be with a lifelong partner. I can see that, and it's very positive. But at the same time, I feel that you pick the wrong direction sometimes in whom, you know, it's fascinating to me. This is the thing I'm getting. I feel that somebody that's manipulated some relationship that you've had previously. I'm not really seeing the person, but there's somebody that was sticking their nose where it didn't belong, interfering. I do see something, there's some individual, but I don't see them, but coming around, and I do see that there's some type of forgiveness in the offering, like someone that needs to be forgiven. And it was very unfair. There's something that, and I don't know if you will continue on, but I think it'll bring you back into having a lot more faith in relationships altogether.
Okay. But you don't see, like, one particular person in my life right now or anything like that? Or
I do feel that there is, I feel that there's somebody around you, but I think that you're having a hard time seeing if it's okay or not okay. There's someone, it's like, you're a little bit, I'm not saying, you're a little bit watchful about things are just too good to be true. So I guess what I'm saying is, I do see that there's something from someone from your past coming back. There's something coming back around that will almost like, that was very unfair, that will like almost like make things right for you. And then I feel, I do see you with a lifelong partner. Let's put it that way. And I don't usually read way far into the future, but I do feel that you're going to be with somebody particularly, and it looks very positive. But right now, I think because of something, I think you're just a little bit, you messed up from like past, some past one person that messed around. Messed you up a little bit, not messed you up, kind of made doubtful, not trusting.
Yeah.
And I do feel after that, it's like I see you thriving along. So, but I don't see a particular face, you know, and I do usually get, but the timing, in the next 10 weeks, the timing's going to be really ideal for a relationship, a healthy relationship. But I do see something around your past saying, please forgive me. And that's it, you know, really.
And is it so, about how long ago? Do you know about how, from my past, like about how long ago is it?
No, you would know who this was. This is someone that was, there was someone that interfered with this relationship. It's not, and it wasn't right. There was something, the third party that interfered, kind of messed around it. So that would help.
Someone interfered with the relationship, and that's why the relationship didn't work out. And the person that the relationship didn't work out with is the person that's supposed to be coming back.
Yes, that will come back around and, like, we'll ask, almost like, will be held accountable, and that's exactly what it is. Held accountable, and you'll be able to move forward. And that's, you deserve that. So when it will be held accountable and ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
And that's, and it will be deserving that you deserve that. And I see that things will be really, you have a really much, you have a lot to look forward to. But I think this is one thing that really needs to happen. Well, I think it, for you, it does. You'll feel much more trusting.
And the person, when it happens, you don't see it being like my children's father or anything, do you?
I'm not clear on that, but you would know if it was. It's like I said, there was an interference of somebody interfering with this. It could, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't want to just make it up, so I'm just saying I'm not sure.
No, I know.
You know?
No, I know. I really do.
But you have a lot. There's a lot of good stuff coming. Really, you have a lot of good things to look forward to, and a healthy relationship. I do see you being with one person, and it will be within 10 weeks. And after 2013 is going to be a really good year for you. You'll be coupled up with your, I see, for a lifelong partner. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, and have a good night. Bye bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, our sincerest apologies. We weren't able to get to all the callers tonight, but you know what? Thanks for calling in. And if we weren't able to get to you tonight, we can get you next week when you call in on the show, or you can go to psychicaccess.com and call and talk to one of us before the show. So, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. I wanted to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And I want to thank a big thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by, I believe, is it Steve?
Yes, it is.
Steve, what do you have planned, honey?
Well,
to know.
We've got Phil Lang joining us, and he's going to be talking to us about an ancient Taoist practice called Kun Lung Mei Gong, and
it's
very, very interesting, because this is a practice that very, very few people know about. It was very much a secret practice in the Kun Lung, I think it's the Kun Lung Mountains in China, Phil will explain to us, but he's going to explain this to us, and I've actually done his course quite a little while ago, and it was absolutely incredible, really fascinating way of managing energy and creating what's called the light body, which he'll explain to us. I don't want to give too much away, but it will be a really interesting show, very different.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Say our goodbyes. Good night.
Bonjour.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.